With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Sam Pets Radio, Australia's coolest podcast network.
Please welcome the wickedly talented
Bam! 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 Bam!
Hey fam, welcome to Hey Fam. My name is Levins.
My name is Angus.
It's Lego Angus.
And you know what? I was actually going to say that because I was reading the list and I was like, that sounds so dumb. I'm going to refrain. That's why I said, I'm Angus, just kind of non-committal. But then you went ahead and said it, so that's fine.
Someone make this week's craft project for everyone listening is to make a Lego Angus.
No, the project is to make next Lego ideas, Hey Fam Studios.
What's our studios? I don't even know what our studios is, though.
We'll let the audience decide. I want to see them right. Come up with it.
Has to look like Mike from Tumix, from my aunt's.
Yeah,
room.
Leon the professional poster. What else do you have? Fifth Element and Leon. He just had the films of Luc Besson.
Yeah. So this week on Hey Fam, we're going to be talking about
Alien Resurrection. Didn't he make that?
Luc Besson?
No, that's someone else. It's another. There's two French directors.
Luc Besson retrospective.
I reckon we could do it. That actually sounds good because I reckon between us we've seen maybe 8. No, it's by Jean-Pierre Jeune. I'm going to fuck up his last name, so I'm not going to say it. It's like a real Frenchy looking word. It's like J's, E's, N's, and T's. I don't want to go there.
Okay, let's see if we can.
Because it was just Bastille Day, and I don't want to, I don't want to rub the salt in.
Okay, I've seen.
But this is the guy that.
I've seen three of Luc Besson's movies.
I reckon that's three more than a lot of people.
No, two. I've only seen two. Sorry.
Oh, shit. Let me guess.
We've already said them.
Fifth Element and Leon the Professional. So the guy I'm thinking about did City of Lost Children and Delicatessen.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And Amelie. Yeah. They're very easy to like fuck up.
They're both French. That's all they've really got.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Alien Resurrection written by the bad boy of... of movie sets, Joss Whedon. Bad boy of morale on set.
Wait, so you...
I had no idea he wrote it.
Have you seen...
Luc Besson.
Have you seen La Femme Nikita?
Yeah.
The Big Blue?
I've seen the cover. So this is where it gets murky for me.
You've
working
seen the cover
in a video store.
In a tunic.
Sometimes I can't remember if I've seen a movie or not. I have definitely seen La Femme Nikita. I do know The Big Blue. Because there's a fucking dolphin on the front, I guarantee it.
He made three Arthur movies. Arthur and the Invisibles. Arthur and like the Revenge of Maltazard. And Arthur 3, The War of Two Worlds. What are these movies? Like European
early CG movies. Yeah, I would say they have more in common with Delgo than they would Toy Story.
Holy shit. Try and guess three of the
Nicolas
cast
Cage
members
is in them, right? Isn't Nicolas Cage got something to do with them?
No, it's way crazy.
No, he's
than
the ant bully. He's the ant bully. I get them mixed up because they're both about small people, right? But which one's Arthur?
Arthur is about
Arthur and the Invisibles.
That's insane.
Oh yeah, these look fucked.
Three of them though, and they're all directed by Luc Besson.
that's crazy.
But don't look at the cast. Try and guess the cast.
Okay. Is it like a French cast or is it international?
It's a mostly American cast, but it is the most insane cast.
I can't. I don't know.
Okay, so
Josh Gad,
Madonna,
oh,
Jimmy Fallon, Mia Farrow, Robert De Niro, Snoop Dogg, David Bowie, Harvey Keitel, and Jason Bateman.
It sounds like Luc Besson had an iPod video and just literally swung that little circle, the navigation wheel around between movies and albums, and was like, yeah, David Bowie's in it. And yeah, I'm really into Arrested Development. That's crazy. I can't believe that. What's crazy to me actually is that there's three.
Yeah, so I'm now seeing, yeah, so the third one.
It's based
one,
on a book series.
That, man, the CG models are disgusting. This is one of the
they look like,
most foul-looking movies I've ever seen.
They look like that Legends of Gahul took one look at them and flew the other way.
So after the first movie was deemed like a big failure.
What is, I'm looking at it now. What do we got? We got the critical response. It stinks, right?
Yeah, the film received negative reviews from critics and underperformed in the
22% Rotten Tomatoes.
It was nevertheless successful enough in France and the rest of the world to generate two sequels. But then in the write up for the second movie, it received generally negative reviews by critics. It was a success in France, but due to its predecessor's failure at the American box office, was released direct-to-video in the States. It performed disappointingly in the rest of the world. As a result, the film and its sequel generated huge money losses for Europa Corp.
Right, something that we've never heard of.
Wow, dude.
Because it doesn't exist.
The second movie...
I've just read an amazing line.
Even crazier.
Oh. Is it no one from the original? Like, they couldn't afford it?
Well, De Niro's not back. Who's back?
Of course not.
Mia Farrow is back. And Snoop Dogg
is back. Dude, the only sequels De Niro does, Meet the Fockers. We know this.
So we've got Selena Gomez replacing Madonna. Lou Reed replacing David Bowie as Maltazard.
That's so funny that he's like another guy.
Someone called Doug Rand replacing Jimmy Fallon. But then you also have like, so there's like Logan Miller is in this. Will I Am, Fergie.
Damn. This is also cool in the sense that it switches, it looks like, between live action and animation throughout the film.
And now I'm going to go to the third one, which is
called... Damn, this looks like, okay, once again, it looks like we have something to deep dive. Yeah, look, it swings between live action. So he reads like a book and shit. It's some real Pagemaster vibes.
Holy shit, dude. I've got So Arthur 3, The War of Two Worlds. Jason Bateman decided, I'm out. Guess who they replace him with?
Michael J. Fox?
Iggy Pop.
That's insane.
So this movie has had... You've got Bowie,
anyone
Lou Reed,
that put out an
Iggy
album
Pop,
in the 70s,
Snoop Dogg,
the 80s,
and two members of the Black Eyed Peas, and Madonna, and Selena Gomez.
Interesting that Snoop Dogg returned, because I'm reading here.
He didn't return for the third one.
Okay, but it's interesting he came back for the second, because this whole sentence is great. I'm just going to say it all. Los Angeles Times reviewer Alex Chun wrote that Luc Besson admits he knew absolutely nothing about animation before he started this project. And it shows. Then the next part is Variety's Robert Kohler called it alienating and dislikable, and noted that having African American thesp Snoot Dogg and Anthony Anderson voice creatures that are basically monkeys shows poor taste.
Oh god.
Dude, this has to be the next deep dive we do, the Arthur trilogy. I don't think Luc Besson's watched three of them.
So the bulk of the extra voices in the second and third movies are done by this dude whose name is David Gassman, and he's best known for being the voice of Rayman, like as in the video game character. And
these French people are crazy.
And he's the French voice of Goku from Dragon Ball Z.
Dude, that rules. That guy, that is like a Bermuda Triangle of good fucking times if you get stuck anywhere near that guy. Man, I can't stop looking at the character models. They look disgusting.
Why are there so many bad animated
They look
movies?
Like prematurely born, like, elven babies.
Wow. The budget is like $85 million for the first movie. Like, in 2006.
Dude, this is the Delgo era. This is that Delgo era where every fucking dude with a computer was like, yeah, I also am Pixar now. And all these companies that like don't exist anymore.
At the time, it was the most expensive French movie ever made.
Yeah, I read that until it was eclipsed by Asterix Goes to the Olympics. Literally. which, funnily enough, has some of the cast members I thought was going to be in Arthur, namely Gerard Depardieu.
Yeah, and also is surprisingly not a CG animated movie. That's a live action totally. Asterix.
This is so fucking crazy. Man, French movies be crazy. I know, you know, they had it all in the, you know, 50s and 60s and 70s with their new wave. Well, it wasn't all new wave, but, you know, there was a vibe. Damn, they really dropped the ball later years, didn't they, for the freaks that invented cinema.
So, look, neither of us thought we would be opening the episode with this, you know, semi-deep, this shallow dive into the Arthur trilogy.
This isn't shallow. This is the deep end. I guarantee this is an infinity pool because no one attached to the film has gone this far back. I'm still trying to figure out which. So, he doesn't really direct movies anymore. He does a lot of scripts of movies that I'm kind of, like, shocked that he did. He wrote the script, for example, for Taken 1 and The Transporter 3.
Didn't we talk about someone last week who wrote the script for Taken 3? Yeah,
was Webb. It Luc Besson?
Mark Webb.
Well, guess what? He must have worked with Luc Besson because he's also listed as one of the screenwriters.
That's crazy.
And also, it looks like they did a Bourne Identity vibe, and for some reason they didn't get Camp Renner Chief involved. But it's a transporter refueled, and that comes out after 3.
So
he just writes movies now.
Besson made the Valerian movie, Valerian and the City of
Planets. Yeah, that's like the last movie he made, which I really need to see.
Last year he released a movie called Anna.
Which
he directed. Oh, he wrote, produced, and directed. Sorry. But it has a lot of Fast and Furious shared actors. You've got Luke Evans, Helen Mirren.
Very interesting.
And Cillian Murphy.
This guy has like a fucking crazy career.
He made that Lucy movie too, which is like, have you watched that before?
Yeah, that was horseshit. Me and my dad saw it.
It's crazy though, right? Is it like boring crazy or off the wall hilarious crazy?
It's not off the wall hilarious crazy. You kind of wish it was. It's not, it's nowhere near as, it's just like a boring ass movie.
Damn. Let's get Luc Besson on the pod. 2020.
Seriously.
Goal.
This guy, he somehow convinced everyone in the 90s that he was a huge vibe.
Well, I mean,
he did, you know, Fifth Element, which Professional is probably his best film. Fifth Element, I remember at the time, like, fucking loving it. However, I haven't revisited it, but I guarantee it probably stinks.
But, like, I think it stinks in a fun way.
Yeah, totally.
Like a great fart.
The visualization was like, the visuals were great. You know, everything was like drenched in orange and lime, like those real big 90s vibe. Like, I do think its portrayal of the future is wild. It's like that on that Mobius shit.
Lily Sobieski's great in it too. Like, multi-pass, like, her character's
great. Yeah, she's great. Yeah. And, you know, Fifth Element ran so Resident Evil 6 could walk. These movies are crazy, dude.
Are you still like going? Are we just going to be distracted by the existence of the Arthur trilogy for the rest of the episode?
So after The Fifth Element, he did Joan of Arc with Mila Jovovich. I don't know, Jovovich. However you want to say it. What is it? Jovovich, yeah. And that was that tanked. It didn't tank. It just made its budget back. So then, ever since Joan of Arc, he kind of just got. He didn't do another movie for like ages, and it was Angel A, a French fantasy film. Yeah, man, he's so crazy.
That is our, you know, we're gonna begin every episode now with a surprise deep dive into a French filmmaker.
Besson in show, and we have to each week watch a Luc Besson film.
So yeah, we are gonna be talking about Lego Mario this episode, plus a little bit of Muppets talk. We got some more.
Is that a Luc Besson film?
Yeah, he actually directed the new series of the Muppets on Disney Plus. Speaking of Disney Plus, Angus, today we got the news that Mulan is going to be available next month as a you can pay an additional $30 American to watch Mulan on Disney Plus.
Yeah, I wonder if that's so. What's interesting? I wonder if that's going to be outside of the States.
Apparently, there's rumors
because
saying
their cinemas
that it's
super
not.
Fucked.
But
yeah,
so but you went to the movies like this week, huh?
Yeah, I went to the movies for the first time since Sonic and 4DX, which I couldn't stop thinking about in the lead up to getting there and during the film and then leaving the film. I was like, well, now Sonic in 4DX is no longer the last film I saw in cinemas, which kind of is crazy.
What did you see and how did it rate compared to Sonic?
So I went with two former guests of Hey Fam, Noon and Henry. One time blank slate boy.
Mm-hmm. What did you see?
Yeah, we saw the original Wicker Man.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I'd never seen it.
Is Sonic in it?
Have you? No, he's not, but Count Dooku was.
Christopher Lee?
Yeah, it was great. It was so bizarre. Like, we went to the, you know, we bought our tickets online. There was no one there. And look, how are you when you go to a movie? Maybe we've spoken about this on the show. It definitely sounds like something I've complained about before, but I am a huge fan of adhering to the seat numbers that you're given. I think it shows like a pecking order. Like, I have the foresight to book tickets in advance. Yeah. Therefore, these are my seats. There's nothing worse like when you're watching a movie and the trailers are on and there's like some cunt in your seat and you're like, you got to get out. And then they like kick up a stink and then they move somewhere else that isn't their seat still. And then they end up becoming like the shittiest game of Tetris where they're trying to fit their seat. And then there's usually like three people who are just like, these are my seats. Like, and yeah, like, oh no, like it's so rude. And it's usually boomers, I've noticed. Like, they're the ones that like, so I walk into the cinema, man. It's the Ritz. It's have you been to the Ritz in Randwick?
It's a fancy cinema in Randwick.
Well, it's like an old cinema. It's beautiful. Yeah. I wouldn't say it's like interesting. Interesting you went to fancy because I'm thinking fancy.
Oh, no. I'm thinking.
I'm lying down in the chair.
What's the one in Mossman that I'm thinking of? That's fancy.
They're similar. It's that. It's like an old cinema. Yeah. It's like a nice old cinema, like a classic, you know.
But I go, my mind goes sooner to like a classic old cinema as fancy as opposed to like gold class. Like gold class isn't really fancy.
No, but just gold class at like Palace Central Park's fancy.
Okay.
I don't know. Anyway, that's a discussion that we can do. That's an interesting talk. We should talk about that though later. That's another episode in the pipeline. You and I revealing what we believe to be fancy.
Yeah, I don't think
it's a, you know, it's a gorgeous like Art Deco. It's an Art Deco cinema.
Being able to receive like a 4-liter chocolate ice cream sundae midway through a movie, that's not necessarily fancy. Or like,
no, but then we're getting into like classism, and it's like if you pay for that, then you know you've paid for that, right? And therefore, that is fancy by by the capitalist margin, I guess. But this is like a beautiful Art Deco cinema. Walk in, we booked our seats online, like almost as a joke because we're like, no one's gonna be there. And two fucking boomer ladies are sitting in our row on our seats, and I'm like, these are our seats, and like they looked like I just told them, I'm arresting you for not wearing a mask and this is Victoria. They were like so, they were just not into it. And I'm like, these are our, like, there's literally no one in this cinema. And they're like, yeah, well, maybe. And I'm like, well, no, we've booked these tickets.
They looked at you like you were not letting them into Bunnings.
Seriously, it was insane. And I was just like, it happens every time and it's always boomers. And it's like classic boomer move to fucking just be in an empty cinema and not adhere to these damn rules. And they weren't even great seats. Like, they were fine. They were in the, like, balcony section. So, it was a sick view, but it wasn't even front row. It was just like, what are you doing?
So, where did they move to? So disrespectful. Were they, like, roughly close to where you were? Or they just they hadn't even looked at
well,
their tickets?
Well, I think they... I didn't look at their tickets.
No.
I just said, like, they...
You know how, like, sometimes I feel like people just sit in your seats because they don't want to look at their tickets and figure out where their seats are.
Yeah. I do, too. I think it's, like, a pride thing. They're like, well, I should be able to sit anywhere I want because I used to be able to.
Yeah.
But then they were like, one, or if it's two of them, one always goes, I told you we shouldn't have sat there. And one started like ratting the other one out. And it's just like, get yourself together. Seriously. You probably own several houses within this postcode. Like, get out of here. Mm. Yeah. Disgusting behavior. I hate it. I remember when I saw mid-90s, the other people, and this makes me sound like a boomer myself. It's teens, disrespectful teens or disrespectful boomers that do this. No one else.
Only our generation is perfect. those above and below us.
We grew up on the internet.
The worst.
We rebel in other ways. You know, we grew up with the internet. Like, teens dab. That's their rebellion. And like, old people buy houses. We have not. We buy movie tickets and adhere to them because we get the system. I said to the women, I'm like, you've got to trust the system. Trust the process. Okay, like there's a process and you just got to trust it. Like, fuck. And it makes you really think. But yeah, I remember seeing mid-90s and it was a packed session at the Dendy in one of the smaller rooms. And like these kids just refused. They must have like not booked online because they don't like have a card or whatever. And then there was five of them and they refused to split up. But like there was no row of five available. So they were like, and then it got to the point where like a polite group of people just acquiesced and sat apart. And I was like almost about to stand up and be like, stop the film. Like, this is injustice. Like, these people have paid for these tickets. Like, they have the right to sit where they want. Like, you had that choice too and decided not to opt for that.
Because you were skateboarding.
It's a skateboarding
movie.
You're
on TikTok.
You know? Yeah. It was just like very rude behavior, I thought.
If you guys spent more time booking tickets online and less time flossing, we wouldn't be in this situation.
Seriously, if you weren't doing like challenges or like miming to...
If you weren't eating Tide Pods.
Yeah. Yeah. Why don't you spit out all the Tide Pods for 1 minute and just instead of Googling what is anal... you can Google how to buy movie tickets. Very rude behavior.
Maybe if you stopped writing Arthur and the Invisibles fan fiction for 1 second.
Yeah, maybe if you stopped busting to Arthur and the Invisibles DeviantArt accounts, you'd be fine. But then it got me thinking also, did you ever do the inverse of that and like get to movies super early to get a good spot?
No, you know what my etiquette is for getting to movies.
Oh yeah, you go to the wrong cinema.
There's that, and then or I go to a game shop and buy a Wario game.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah, got me thinking. I had to like in 2001 or whenever the first Lord of the Rings came out. I had to like on Boxing Day, our whole family went, like my extended family, and they made me go buy. They gave me all this cash to buy like no shit, like 14 tickets, which is probably like. Over $200, and then I had to like sit in a row because like my grandmother had like a walker, and I had to like we just had to like arrive to the cinemas an hour early and wait, and that was pre-booking tickets online, like before they were numbered. But you know what? Maybe that patience taught me, gave me respect for the system that's in place now. It's some real. I used to walk to school 5 miles in the snow shit, you know. So I think like I learned patience, and like so booking them online is such a reward that I relish in it.
Yeah, but I'm a real stinker with it. Like, I'll book my tickets like moments before the movie starts and get there as the movie starts. Like, you'd hate it.
Yeah, I'm very much about structure. It's about the only thing I can have in my life that I can rely on. So if I'm like, if something is happening at this time, I will just, even if I don't want to, I will be there. I just need it because like I've balanced on like a set of invisible scales the rest of my day around it. Like I evenly distribute my attention.
So how was The Wicker Man? Were you even able to pay attention to it, or were you too busy like being distracted by just being?
Well, I had a few panic attacks during it. I had some panic attacks during it just because of COVID and how bad the year is. And it was like, what is the point of living? I was like, you know, I had a few like mild panic. I'd probably had like, one panic attack in particular where I just started like profusely sweating through my clothing, being like, just shut up and watch the movie. I kind of had a mini freak out. I didn't tell anyone, but I was like just crumbling at the prospect of how horrible this year is. I'm like, what am I doing? Why am I here? This is such a farce. I'm in a cinema paying $20 to watch a fucking 40-year-old movie. Like that, I think like...
It's probably
I just
on
kept
streaming
thinking about,
somewhere.
Oh, I could watch it easily in a higher definition, you know, better quality elsewhere.
You could watch it
by myself.
You could watch it sped
and no boomers
up
would be in my seat.
On binge.
I could watch. I could have the 3 minutes to watch a trailer to Off and the Invisibles after. But yeah, I was just like, just being at a cinema, just really one of the like, you know, that was one of my safe spaces. It's where film buffs like I, you know, are accepted, and you know, it was just interesting to go back to that place, but it be such a like, just a dark version of what the cinema normally is, like empty, just I don't know. It was weird. I did not. The movie was great. It's a fucking classic, like one of the best. So glad I've seen it, and just such a blueprint for so many films that have come since and like fit that mold, but. Yeah, man, it was a strange vibe.
It's not like the unintentional humor of the remake.
No, it's actually like a good film. Where the remake is a good performance, I'll stand by that.
I know what you mean about that, like that panic. I now like I'm so used to being at home that the moment I'm not now, I'm like, why am I not at home?
I was thinking today, like, this is, like, when obviously I'm not the first person to think this, but like, this is going to have such an adverse effect on our socializing skills. Like, it's never going to go back to how it was. Like, there'll be like the whole process of like, there will be a vaccine, and then there'll be like years to roll it out. And then we'll be like, I wonder if this stranger on the bus has got a vaccine. You know what I mean? Like, it's just going to be, it's going to be like after 9/11, where like everybody was a terrorist.
You're going to have to,
we're told basically it could be, anyone could be a terrorist. And they like took bins away from train stations. That to me was like, I remember the defining point of like, oh, the world's different now.
Yeah.
Like, traveling's fucked. Like, taking, you know, liquids is fucked.
You have to take,
like,
your shoes off at the airport.
Totally. Yeah. And it's just like, that's never going back. You know what I mean? Like, once you set a precedent, like, that's it now, like, society. And I was just like, it's never going back to how it was.
Yeah. I had a very like, how long do I have to hold on to the, like, the belief that I'm a DJ? At what point do I give up
that? Is that a metaphor? That career? Like, is it,
well, no, I mean,
when is
like
a DJ, not a DJ. It's like a, when the, how many nuns to screw in a lab. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you can still play music. That's being a DJ.
Yeah, but I mean,
there's no audience. That's not, it's, is not, that
it's
a DJ.
When does it stop being a career? Like,
yeah.
Because I mean,
what are you still saying? I mean, it was interesting. We saw, you know, that first month of people pretending to like the app House Party, and like, people being innovative and doing like Instagram lives like 5 days into COVID. They're like, right, this is what I do now. I do live sets. Have you noticed, and I'm not just speaking about DJing, I'm speaking about like the entertainment industry as a whole, which is good because we'll tie into Milan. I think the public conscious collective is like just over that now. Like, now we're like, we don't care about that. Like, things are miserable. And I don't care about,
yeah,
you're like it was almost that initial thing was like, don't worry, we can do this. Let's bring joy to people. And there's confusion. But now the confusion is like morphed. It's more and more frustrating now. It's,
yeah,
not just confusion. Like, the confusion's still there, but it's now anger and confusion.
Almost every DJ,
no one cares,
started doing, yeah, like Instagram live DJ sets, Twitch DJ sets. And I considered, yeah, it at one point. I mean, it would be fun just to kind of do like a weird thing. But I mean, I feel like I'd spend less time DJing and more time just looking at the very low number of people watching my video.
Yeah.
And plus, there's no way to like, you know, make money off that. And so that's the reason I started my Patreon for making mixtapes, because I just knew like, well, that's something I enjoy doing anyway. I love making mixes. And like, even regardless of where we're at right now, there's definitely a handful of people that would like actually pay for a service like that. It's like, I've actually like, this week I put out like my 10th mix that I'd made since COVID started. So there's like,
that's crazy,
like two indie rock mixes, two Neptunes mixes, a disco mix, a club mix. There's a rap mix. There's like all these like pretty like fun, like high concept mixes that I've put up on my Patreon now. And like that, and then I finished a book, and then I just got contracted to do another book, which I have to finish in the next month.
Arthur.
So I'm going
to Arthur 4.
Regardless of what happens.
The reins to Arthur.
Yeah, that's right. Arthur 4, pumpkins and aliens.
Pumpkins and Frank. Pumpkins and Bessons.
Invisible.
Brussels
pumpkins.
Sprouts and Bessons.
But it is going to be like, yeah, this weird thing where like, I'm glad I was just like, I chose an option that made me like hyper productive.
Yeah.
Because I think like, as long as I'm actually
like a distraction
working,
too, right?
Yeah, as long as I'm actually like, as long as I'm working on something. Like today I dropped Archie at school and he was like, Dad, what do you do on Wednesdays? And I was like, what do you mean? And he was like, you drop me at school and then you drop Tilly at school and Mum's at school, but what do you do? I started like,
you're
having
like,
that panic
attack.
Don't
take this away from me. Yeah.
Get out of the car.
Get out.
Never,
you're fucking
ask
walking
me that again.
Well, now I'm not taking you to school. You've lost that one. You have to figure out how to get there yourself.
No, but thankfully I was able to like be like, well, the reality was I came home and I finished Paper Mario, but you don't want to tell your kid that you're dropping it. It's cool that that's like your grand plans for the day.
Yeah. I don't want to come home and say I'm yelling at boomers in an empty cinema. Like, it's just some things you got to keep close to your chest.
And then I picked him up and he was like,
know,
so Dad, what did you do today? And I told him about the book and
fuck.
I said, oh, I edit podcasts and I do this and do that. And he was like, yeah, right. Because I go to school and Mum goes to school and Tilly goes to school. But what do you do? I always think about, what do you do?
Fuck, maybe think a little bit more about what you're doing, Archie. Give him a Yoda lesson. Like, you know, Yoda's like, you know, think about now. Don't think about the future or the past.
He's become really invested in the absolute dog shit plot of Ring Fit Adventure, the Nintendo.
The devs in Nintendo RPG. They weren't even into it.
That said, that game finally got its hooks in me this week. Once you like push past, like, honestly, you have to get to the level 40. And then you unlock a skill tree, and then you can go back through the levels you've already done and grind for extra points to then unlock more.
Jesus.
And so now it's like, oh, it actually feels like an RPG to me now.
What level are you on?
My level is number 60, and I'm on like world 10 or 11 now.
What level, what setting level?
Oh, what setting? I think 24 out of 30. Is my difficulty setting. What are you at?
Like 22 or something, 20. Yeah, I'm only like played 4 levels. And it is probably like at a higher setting than what I should be doing, but I'm like doing it to push through and it feels good.
Yeah, I mean, if you do it lower, I think you have to do less work to get through the story. Because I know you're playing it, for the plot. You and Archie.
Yeah, I'm like... Me and Archie are filling out the Ring Fit Wiki every night.
He's like, he's so funny. He'll be like, Dad, why do you think Drago took over Allegra's mind and covered her in darkness?
Like, it's like, why did... What, yeah, I'm always wondering who made his, like, activewear.
Yeah.
He's like this fucking demonic force and he has activewear.
Yeah, it's great.
And he's like, he's like a bad guy, but really into like personal health.
I finished Paper Mario today and all I could think about was like, man, how good would it be if they just let these guys work on the Ring Fit Adventure story? And at least...
It'd be so good.
Well, imagine if you were just playing as like a really fat... Oh, you were playing as fucking Wario and Wario has to get in shape. You make it a WarioWare fitness game.
That's the vibe. Oh,
that would be so good. You play as fat fucking Wario... And like
Nintendo are mental though. They don't let anyone do anything with their characters.
It's like, no, you have to, the character is a nondescript fit bro who wears active
like
wear,
we said, like whose one, head's two, on fire. Switch. 1-2, yeah. 1-2 Switch would have been like an easier fucking pill to swallow if it was like Mario Party games. You know what I mean? Just like, but no, they had like FMVs of like fucking just dumb non-existent
extras.
Families pretend.
Extra. Yeah. Like union
performing
union
in front of
actors.
A green screen.
Yeah.
Just disgusting shit.
Yeah. Real gross. Yeah. So you mentioned it earlier, but so did I guess. Mulan, the upcoming Disney remake of the beloved animated feature. Today they announced, and it's the first like kind of, I guess we got Onward released in the States first, but then came to, Australian Disney Plus before it was released in cinemas properly. Frozen 2 they pushed ahead and put on Disney Plus a lot earlier than it was meant to. But we haven't really seen one of their actual main movies come out on Disney Plus first
Skip
and foremost.
Theatrical.
And the deal is
what happened with what was the new Pixar one?
Onward.
Onward, yeah, that was like in Australia. It didn't go to cinemas, but it had
I literally just said that.
2-week window.
Yeah.
But yeah, but it had a 2-week window on iTunes.
That's right.
That was the difference. Yeah. It had like a window where you could buy it and then it went to Disney Plus.
And we've seen like Scoob came to digital iTunes before being released in cinemas. Like pretty low.
Did that come to cinemas?
No, it was meant to be in cinemas, but they put it out on digital. And that was what started the big rift between Universal it was Universal saying that they might put out the Fast and Furious movie. Well, I can't remember what was the movie that made the cinema, like the big cinema group in America angry. I think maybe it was Scoob.
It was maybe Fast. Yeah, it was Universal. It was Trolls 2.
Trolls 2. That's
World
right.
Tour.
That's the one. So those are like the big high profile releases so far, but this is definitely the highest profile.
Hands down.
So it's $30 that you have to pay on top of your regular monthly Disney Plus fee, which, you know, if you are watching it as a family who you'd normally have to pay, you know, $10, $15 a ticket for, then I guess it makes sense. But I feel like the bulk of people excited for this movie are like people in their 20s who live alone. I don't like... Mulan doesn't strike me as a particularly like big family movie. The animated one certainly is, but this is like a songless live action remake that's like...
Yeah, at least Aladdin had like way, damn songs.
Way more of an action movie, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this one's like historical drama mixed with like magic and shit, I guess.
But there's no dragons.
No. I mean, we don't know yet. Maybe they're whipping out.
What was Eddie Murphy's character in it? Like Lushu or something?
Mugu Mushu, or something?
Mushu.
Mushu? Yeah. Mugu. It was closer than yours. What did you say?
Lushu. I said Lushu and Mushu. They're not too far off.
Well, I said Mugu. Together we literally were halfway there. Classic horse shit ass.
But yeah, I don't know. What do you think about this?
I feel bad for the filmmakers. Again, this just comes back to how fucked this thing of ours is that's going on at the moment. But yeah, I feel bad. Like that movie was, you know, same with the Onward filmmakers. Like these films were, I mean, putting aside the fact that like a mega corporation's putting it out, just from the artist's point of view, I feel bad for them. Like they shot this thing to be seen on like big dick screens and stuff like that. And to have that taken away from them and like, you know, it'd be like having your album finished, but then someone getting like the 128 Napster rip that has like a watermark said every 20 seconds during the song.
Yeah, yeah. And like, you know, the second they put this out, like you'll be able to find it on Pirate Bay as well.
100%. And like, you also know that people will be pausing it and going to the movie, like going to the toilet and like, not concentrating. I just feel bad for them as a connoisseur of cinema once again. But I just feel bad that like they will not be getting the, yeah, I don't know. They're not getting the like attention or the, yeah, it just won't be getting the audience, like the satisfaction. Like I'm sure this thing was shot to be seen, you know, in cinemas.
Yeah. And there's been a lot of criticism of this move from people saying like, you know, Disney seem okay doing this with the, you know, predominantly Asian-led or entirely Asian-led cast movie. But are they going to do the same thing with Black Widow, with their other releases for the year? Like,
so this movie was like on buses during the start of COVID. I remember it was like coming soon. Like it was the last run of ads before, you know, they had to pull that shit.
This and Onward.
So it's interesting. This and Onward. Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. I bet you they thought they, you know, Without even considering race for a minute, like I don't think Disney want to be doing this. Like this is not their plan.
What's crazy is that they made the call to do this, yet they still have Disneyland and Disney World open to the public.
Yeah, that's bonkers.
It's fucking insane. Like that's like in Australia, Victoria at the moment, you know, they're getting, what, they had 700 cases, new cases today. And you can't, they're under curfew, they're under lockdown and curfew. You can't leave your house after between 8 p.m. and 5 a.m. in Melbourne anymore. But in like Florida...
Makes sense to me.
In Florida, there's 10,000 cases a day and fucking Disney World is open.
Truly baffling shit, right?
Like I'm pretty sure their daily death count is more than Melbourne's daily case count.
Jesus. Why would you go?
And it's like, yeah, fuck yeah, let's open up the world of Pandora in case people want to like cough. While doing the mighty...
How do you cough in Na'vi?
The mighty Akron ride.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tell you what, those Na'vi are so big that they could do a elbow cough and cover a few of you up. That's a nice thought. Coughing into a Na'vi's elbow pocket.
If someone ever accuses me of having COVID I'm like, no, dude, I just have a cough. Listen to the last 6 years of my podcast.
You should get that checked out. My dad's throat cancer started as a cough, you know.
So I've had a cough.
Don't want to freak you.
I've had cancer since I was like 4 years old. It's just a. It's like
it started off as like a. It was a growth because he had like a non-smoker throat cancer, and he's fine now. But it started off as like a growth that he just coughed, and my mom would be like, "Can you stop coughing?" And like it was an annoying thing, a tick almost. And then I like, what? "Oh shit, you got like cancer."
I only get it when I talk, like at length.
Man, fucking the irony of the Kevin Smith of Sydney.
Maybe that's
of
why
Sydney podcasting.
Maybe that's why he started smoking weed, so he had like an excuse for to cover his cough.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. I love that he's actually stealing valor. He's not a weed head. He's just embarrassed to say that he coughs and he shouldn't be doing this. Poor Kevin getting into jobs he should not be doing still, like making movies or. I was thinking again during Wicker Man. I was thinking of like, what was it? Kilroy was here.
Yeah.
Is that the? I was just like, man, that fucking movie.
The new Kevin Smith movie.
When I was having my panic attack, a Kevin Smith movie came up.
You know that like I didn't get to bed after our last episode until like 3 a.m. because I watched the entirety of his god awful web series with.
So you actually watched them all?
I watched all 7 episodes of whatever the fuck the Kevin Smith and his
and the funny thing is
just son in laws it, web series. It's awful.
The best thing is we finish like early now.
I know. Like, 3 hours.
We just
deep
like going over
of
it?
Shit I shouldn't be doing.
That's so funny. What were your findings? Because I'm not watching it.
Oh, my findings is that I should not be watching it.
Is the quality okay? At least the first one was kind of like, okay, this is good fodder for the pod. What does it just become masochistic the more you watch it?
Okay,
or
so
what's the vibe?
In the latest episode, Kevin Smith and his family, his wife, his daughter, his daughter's boyfriend, on their deck eating brownies. And Kevin Smith
Wade
goes,
brownies?
Ooh, ooh, no, just regular brownies. He goes, ooh, ooh, I'm gonna eat the last brownie. And then he goes to reach it, and then his Harley Quinn's boyfriend snatches it and eats it.
Joker.
And then he goes, I ate the last brownie. Yeah. And then he gets up and starts doing Fortnite dances. And Kevin Smith's like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm doing a Fortnite dance. And he does it. It's like, goes for like a minute.
He actually says a Fortnite dance.
And then Kevin Smith's like, what the fuck's a Fortnite? And he's like, oh, you dumb old man. You don't know anything about video games. And he's like, I bet you I could beat your ass at a video game, a new video game. And then it's like, then yes. It's promo for his.
Let
his,
me guess, the king of self fucking.
Yeah, yeah. So it's promo for his video game, Jay and Silent Bob video game.
Dude, that is brutal. But also like, I kind of want to watch it now. I tell you, man, he does this because he's looking at that guy going, God, man, that's just like me as a kid. I'm going to be the guy that I wish I had helping me out. But he doesn't realize he's like smothering him with like shit. No one will ever hire this kid.
I think this kid seems so he's as keen as they matched in keenness.
It's real Hollywood shit though, isn't it? Yeah. Like it's sycophantic. Like it's funny to think we're living in a world where Harley Quinn Smith is like Hollywood deemed like a version of Hollywood royalty.
Is she? She's in a Tarantino movie, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they're now a legacy.
She's the best known actor in Kilroy Was Here. Or maybe
she's
Jason
top bill.
Mears.
I mean, that's...
Yeah. So, this week, Lego Mario finally came out. This is the...
No, it didn't. Oh, I thought you meant Paper Mario. It's like, this guy is paper, he's Lego... What the fuck isn't he?
Lego Paper Mario.
Lego. What's next? Meccano-rio? No.
It does, like, I know everyone was, like, you know, eagerly awaiting this, like, bullshit rumor that for the 35th anniversary of Super Mario, they would re-release, like, the Switch versions of Mario Galaxy and 64 and Sunshine.
Oh, yeah. Sunshine.
Which just seems too good to be true and also makes too much sense to be true.
That's a great business move. Yeah. Yeah. It would never happen.
And everyone's like, oh my God, like, I can't believe they're just ignoring the Mario birthday. But I have Mario having, you know, played 35 hours of the new Paper Mario game. And now I spent like the weekend building Lego Mario sets with my kids. And then off the back of that, Archie was asking questions about Mario. So we spent like 3 hours on Sunday playing the original Mario Brothers, Mario Brothers 3, and Mario World together.
It's amazing.
It was such a fucking good weekend. But yeah, the you got the...
What was his favorite?
He was really, really hooked on, actually, and you'll love this shit, on the original Mario Bros. And I like, I was playing
Wait,
it
the
at first.
Arcade or Super Mario Brothers?
Super Mario Brothers, not the original, that
Come
arcade
on, get
shit.
That fucking yeah. shit right. Yeah. It's Mario Bros. Is arcade, Super Mario is the platformer.
Okay, mate.
No wonder why they haven't sent you Lego yet.
But I did the bit where you jump over the underground level and then made it to the warp pipes. And I was like, check it out, Archie. Now we can go to any of these worlds. We can jump forward. You know, do we want to go to 2, 3, or 4? And he looked at me like I was such an idiot. He was like, you go to 2. Like he's got such a little math brain. It's like, no, that do rules. This properly, Dad. No cheating.
Yeah.
So we just...
You could hear the train pulling into the station. The
yeah, I've never ever played any of the 2 levels of Mario World.
I love that. Don't tell him that. Don't tell Nintendo that or they're going to snap your Lego.
And, yeah.
I was just thinking, you know what would be funny? Mario, they're like, okay, it's 35th anniversary. And as you were saying, like, you know, it's such a good business idea. So no wonder why it's not happening. If they're like, all right, guys, press conference or whatever. It is 35 years of, you know, our company's, you know, iconic character, one of the most beloved characters in the world, Mario. So we're going to take this opportunity to announce we're doing Year of Luigi 2. Just, you know, we're going to just drop Luigi's Mansion 3, which came out last year. We dropped $10, $5 off that in the eShop. And that's about it. So yeah, enjoy it. Just like, that
Dr. Luigi 2.
Dr. Luigi 2, but you have to... we might release that later. We're not too sure yet.
And there's
also,
17 new Luigi Amiibo.
Yeah, that you won't be able to buy them because of COVID. And Kid Icarus Uprising, for some reason, is here as well.
I would love that. I want a Switch version of Kid Icarus.
They'll never work because they're all like, oh, that, no.
It'll work.
It can't work.
I want it purely because we'll get a new Sakurai conference about how good that game is and underrated.
Do you reckon he has panic attacks watching Wicker Man about Kid Icarus Uprising?
Well, like, we know he has 2 enormous televisions, so yeah, I reckon he's watching Wicker Man on one screen and playing Kid Icarus Uprising on the one next to it.
Yeah.
The way it was meant to be played. So you got the starter kit.
You finished Paper Mario. Wait, what are you doing? You finished Paper Mario? Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, it was a good game. There's like, it definitely dragged a bit.
Towards the end, I was like, let's fucking get this shit done.
But the middle of the game is absolutely terrific as you're exploring new areas and finding toads. Yeah. I hated that you stopped finding toads.
I didn't.
I didn't understand why. Like, it just, there was less reason to explore.
Forgot.
I don't know. It was just a very odd choice. Like,
yeah, they almost like forgot or something.
There's so many secrets in the first, in like, you know, the first 2/3 of the game, and then the last third, there's barely anything. But I loved the toad spa level.
That was great. That was a great, yeah.
And I loved, yeah.
I found after that, that's when it started dragging for me, when it was like, and then you crash, and then you do this, and then there's this. I was like, okay, like.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, I did love having what's his name, the little wizard in my party. What's his name again? It is
Kamek.
Kamek. Yeah. He rules.
He's a goat. One of the all-time Mario characters.
And I loved Bowser in it is a great presence. But the final boss battle was like just a bunch of random shit, but it was still fun.
Yeah. I think it's still like my top 5 like Switch games that are like first party or whatever. Hands down.
Yeah.
Easily. It was so enjoyable. Like the pros outweigh the cons for me.
It's one of my most played. It's just outside.
Yeah, same.
I think it's like 35 hours. It's just beneath Animal Crossing for me.
It's not beneath mine. Mine's like 210.
That's that would be your, I wonder if I can guess your most played Switch games.
It's that. Oh yeah.
That whole top row. Cause I reckon it would be, yeah, like number 1, Animal Crossing, number 2, Breath of the Wild, number 3, Fire Emblem Three Houses, number 4, Final Fantasy VII.
No. Paper Mario was quick, took longer than Final Fantasy.
Did it really? Okay, cool. Incentive for me to actually finish that motherfucking game.
Because it's three speed mode on Final Fantasy.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, what you eating there, Chief?
Just a green apple licorice.
Gross.
Needed a mid-show. Is it good? Pick me up. I had a time. All right. It's neither here nor there.
Why'd you get it?
I didn't.
All right.
Just in the house.
Just in the, it just grew.
Finders keepers. What happens in the studio? Fucking.
There you go. A little hint for the Hey Fam studio Lego set. It's a kitchen.
Sorry, listeners. I was just I hadn't really eaten well today.
You've been
had a small cup of a furry, like very small.
So you got like a big box of like Japanese instant ramen sent to the house, like a bunch of different cup noodles.
Yeah, like 20 cups or so.
One of them
different types.
One of them came with a like. A little package of like freeze-dried, like, this big disc of pork.
Yeah.
And like, you know,
it
like,
was the Ippudo. It's the Ippudo one. It was their Kakaman or whatever ramen that's on the menu, like their like signature dish.
What did it taste like?
You probably had it if you've eaten it.
What did it smell like, first of all? Like before?
It didn't smell like, there wasn't like an adverse odor where you were like, ew, not like when you open like tinned fish. There was nothing like that.
Right.
It just kind of was whatever and kind of, I guess, activated in the hot water.
That's so funny. Did it taste good?
Like, yeah, it was great. Texturally? It was fine. It kind of just like, it had like a thickness to it. It was kind of weird, but like whatever.
So you've got the Lego Mario starter set. You built it. You got to have like a fun little Lego day by yourself. How was that?
Well, it was a Lego before work. I was like, well, I got an hour to kill.
Yep.
It was funny. You use the app to build it. I mean, look, I don't buy that much Lego anymore. It's in boxes if I do buy it.
Same here, brother.
I'm like a minifig guy now. Like, I like just minifigs. Just yep. You got me that Tom Cruise one and the Mutt Williams one. Like, I like weird minifigs. That's kind of my vibe.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no way I did voice my not vibeness of the Ness. And I think it's whatever. It's cool that it exists, but it's like not for me. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, I'm not getting that.
That's pretty different from what you said a few weeks ago.
No, I just think like, I see why a certain person wants it. Like, I get that. But also like, I would never want that right now in my life. Like, I'm just like, yeah, there's no, like, I was in the presence of it and was offered it too by someone at the Lego store. They're like, we have two out back. Do you want one? Because there's like a line of 50 people. And I was just like, no, like I actually don't. And I was like, man, me a few years ago, I would have fucking just said yes. Or maybe even said, I'll take two. But I was just like, no, I don't want this. Like someone who wants pleasure from this should have it. Like,
yeah, you should have got it for me.
Did you want it though?
Yeah, I really want it. I've sold a bunch of Lego with the intention of buying that. But
yeah, wow.
I didn't want to go trek out to that store on Saturday and now it's sold out.
Yeah.
So I'll get it.
Damn.
I'll get it at some point this year.
Like heaps more money. You should have told me. I would have got it. It was like $349.
Yeah. I'm sure I'll find it for like less than that later this year. Once all the hype dies down, it'll still be a sick set. But
it was just kind of strange. I was like, I'm glad I don't want that. But I just want like the minifig of Mario and like those characters. They're so sick for like, you know, where I put that shit up. Like a good grown man does.
Yeah, I mean, you and me both agree that the best thing to come out of this Lego Mario stuff is the little blind bag sets of the villains.
Totally.
And
they rule.
I heard that if you buy the blind box, they're just in a row, so you can just grab 10 in a row, and that's all 10 of the villains. So I did that, and so yeah, I spent Saturday night with the kids building all those little Mario enemies up and quizzing them on what their names were. And
yes,
the blooper is such a good build. It looks so sick. It's so effective.
I got a Bob Omb, which I thought was sick as well.
But so you've got the starter kit. I ordered it through lego.com because it came with you get two bonuses with it. Like one of them is like a Monty Mole one and the other is a super mushroom. But
I got the super mushroom.
Nothing has arrived yet and there's no sign of
bonkers.
The package, and I don't know what the fuck's going on. I bought the Mario house set with Yoshi and I've just built Yoshi. It's so weird that you don't use instructions. You have to log on to an app and find the set that you want to build on the app. Like, how long are Lego going to support that? If if I buy one of these sets, you know, 10 years from now, am I even going to be able to get instructions?
You'll be able to find the fucking instructions.
Okay. Hey, man, this is the worst case scenario I could possibly think of right now, all right?
No, you know how inane and fucked the Lego community is.
Yep.
Those things are they're already like documented. They've already been like in a time capsule somewhere.
They're already on their way to space.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you'll be fine.
But so the Mario Starter Kit has Mario in it. It's the only set with Mario in it. And he, like, scans things because all of the different enemies have, like, a little barcode on them.
Well, yeah, there's a light. When you turn him on, there's, like, a little light coming up from his ass. Like, between
That's
his
canon.
Legs.
If you actually, if you pause any Mario game and then move the camera beneath his butthole, you'll see a big light protruding from underneath it.
Yeah, and he scans that and like reacts. Or if you put him on his side, like on his back, he just starts sleeping and shit and starts snoring. I can get it if you want and show you how it sounds.
Yeah, let's have a little special guest in this episode. All
right, it's right. It's over here.
Special guest, Mario, his first appearance on Hey Fam. We've talked about him enough. You would think he would have been here sooner, but you know, 5 years after we started the podcast, he's finally here. I can't believe you still got it in the Lego store bag. Oh, and it's still in the box, in the bag. This only child, yeah, fuck. Are you going to display it? With its dead eyes? It looks so funny when it's turned off. Because it's like, it has LEDs as its eyes and mouth. And so when it's not turned on, it's just like dead black eyes and mouth. The angel of death, Mario. Okay, here we go.
All right, I just got to fire up the phone app because I think it connects. I think if you want to play it, you've got to have the phone app nearby.
That's annoying. Does it play just through? Does it play through Mario? Or?
See.
Oh, look at him. He looks so good. There's a light coming out of his butt. Make him say something.
Well, I think that's why. So he's like blinking. He has like.
Okay.
So what you do? It's pretty crazy. If you have like a blue brick like this, right? If you put that under him, cough, dude. We need wireless mics.
lapel mics for Mario.
See how you probably can't see it, but see how he has like water on his chest.
Yep. Oh, so he knows that he's in water. That's cool.
Yeah. So when you take it off, it goes back to normal.
Interesting.
So like that thing is constantly scanning. If you put on a red one, that's when the fire comes, and he's like, oh, whoa, 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 like. It's got to be a full square. Hang on.
God damn it, Mario.
This is great. Oh, like
worst grass? Guest ever.
See, when he's on grass, it's like...
He's great. Happy.
It's like grass.
I don't want to see it. I want to hear him.
Okay. I think I've got to connect him to the app. So
he doesn't...
Fire it up and you hit like the Bluetooth button on the back of him. He has like a little Bluetooth.
Okay.
I'll put him near here. Come on.
Should I just cut in some audio of him, of Mario saying?
Yo, when I met Mario, remember that he came? Here we go. Connect Lego Mario. So I'm connecting it now. There's like a little loading thing on his chest.
Okay. Still not
it's
talking.
It's kind of cool. Like the tech behind it is sick.
Yeah. Can you see it? Would you see it as something that you would enjoy playing with as a kid?
Yeah, he's talking.
What's he say? Was. I hate him.
He just went, waha! Like, he doesn't say much. I put him on his back and he'll start sleeping. I put him on his back and he'll start sleeping.
Does he say, so long, gay Bowser?
Yeah, he says, yes.
Does he?
He goes, here we go. Hang on. I'm going to put him down. He was asleep. He goes, I'm tired. Wait. Give it like a second. He's blinking. His mouth's open. He's staring.
Fucking Mario, come on.
I'm
tired. There we go. Perfect.
His eyes
worth
are like
it.
Half closed.
Worth
and within
it.
Like 30
Best
seconds,
ever.
He'll start sleeping.
If you scan your laptop keyboard,
wait,
does he teach you typing? Oh, he's snoring.
And he has like Zed on his chest and his eyes are now shut. And then if you lift him up, he goes, all right. And his eyes are awake. So it's pretty good like motion detection and crazy shit like that. I'm going to hear what he says if you turn him off.
See you later. Perfect. That's it.
I mean, it's cool as hell.
Yeah.
I think it's like a sick thing. I wish, like, you know, I'm not going to have this out on display because it's kind of like, there's no right way to build it. It's up to you. I think it's like a great thing for kids to like encourage them to like, you know, how a video game level works and like physics and up and down. And
yeah, totally.
Like
it's almost coding, not quite coding, but it's
seriously,
not
that's
far.
What I was describing it. I was like, this is like the thing you do before you do coding. And it's crazy that it exists. Like, I know Lego have like a fucking monstrous flex now on, you know, culture
media.
And can like make Lego of anything.
Yep.
But it still blows me out that Nintendo were like, yes.
Yeah, totally. I wonder if we're going to get an actual standalone Lego Mario game. Like, that seems like a no-brainer, but
that's,
I also don't know what
it seems like a logical, yeah.
A logical thing that Nintendo will never do.
Yeah. I mean, look, the Lego games are kind of not the bastions of forward-thinking video game design that they once were.
Well, I mean, yeah, you know, I would love a Lego game that wasn't made by, is it Tall Tales, the TT? The guys that make all the Lego games. It would be so great for someone else to make something different. To make, I don't know, a Mario Lego game, like a Nintendo-designed Lego game would be wild.
I mean, look, they got a paper one out and it wasn't what anyone wanted, so it'll be interesting.
Actually, yeah, the Lego Mario game is the...
What did you think of the fighting?
In Paper Mario?
Yeah.
It was fine. The boss battles in that game are the best. Like, that's like...
Easily the best boss battles in a Paper Mario game, I think. I stand by that.
When you... Yeah, like the stapler, the scissors, the...
It was fun.
The tin of pencils. Like, their attacks are really fun. There's like genuine strategy that you've got to... Like, in just to get to like the position to battle them. And then, you know, which way you want to fight them.
Real Fire Emblem hours. Like, where you like, do I come from the front, the back, the side? Like, introducing like weak spots and stuff. I was like, this is sick.
That final boss... Like, this is light spoilers. The final boss is just like a puzzle you have to solve. And I fucking hated that so much. What a
same. It was more like, it was more like quick action reactions too. Like, jump, jump, jump. And I was like, come on, man. The whole game's avoided this.
And some of the, like the game show thing, like I thought was a really, really cute idea. The Shy Guys finish last game show thing.
That went so long.
It was really like, and it was kind of like brain teasers and shit. Like, it wasn't. I don't know. It was an interesting decision to put that in there. But I think overall, I'm pretty positive on that game. I definitely recommend it. I think the story is really great.
Yeah, look, the characters it's still my top five on the Switch. Hey, I just got something very interesting just popped up on my screen.
What's that?
It's 5 years since Lenny Kravitz's dick popped out of his pants.
Fuck yeah, to man. The day. Should we end the episode with us just celebrating?
That's what I mean. There's no better
that moment
to end.
One more time.
Five years ago,
Lenny Kravitz was performing a live show in very, very tight pants, and he's got his guitar and he ducks down and his pants rip and his big dick just flops out.
But he's playing like an 11 a.m. slot at a music festival. It looks like it's sunny. It's like, it's so funny. Yeah, and he does like a crab core move. I'm looking at it now, and my favorite thing from the whole Lenny Kravitz like dick out was Steven Tyler's message going, "Dude, no underwear and pierced. Fuck me, you never showed me that shit." And then Lenny Kravitz screenshotting the iMessage and sharing it.
It's so good. It like rips open and just hangs out of his pants for a moment. Fuck, it rules.
And I remember Zoe Kravitz tweeting me like she was so embarrassed. Everything, it's such a good moment.
So sick. That's great.
Yeah, that someone just sent that to me then. It's like, I have to bring this up.
Like, the pants he's wearing are so funny. Like, they're like really, really tight. Are they leather or vinyl? I don't know, but
it could be some fake.
And he's like mouths open. There's backup dancers behind him, and I don't know what he's even doing to his guitar. Just shredding, and then his dick just flops out. So good.
It's so good.
What a great gift to culture.
It's one of the best images. Steven Tyler's reaction is just like, I think he speaks for the world.
It's really upsetting that the rock community didn't get behind Lenny Kravitz and do the same thing.
I know.
Like, dicks out for Lenny Kravitz should have been a rock and roll movement.
I would have liked to have seen every dude with a Gibson Les Paul or a Fender Stratocaster at home, walking around the streets with their dick out.
Hi,
and like going,
this is Sir Elton John, and this is Dicks Out for Lenny Kravitz. Zoom,
yeah,
flop.
It'd be so great.
Yeah,
I'd love that. Hey, this is Steven Tyler from Aerosmith.
And I'm getting my dick out for Lenny Kravitz, man.
And as much as my daughter Liv is telling me not to, I'm getting my dick out for Lenny.
Hey, this is Neil so Young. This is Neil Young. I'm getting my dick out for Lenny Kravitz.
Hey, my name's Paul. I'm a Beatle, yeah? And I know if John was still here, he'd get his dick out too. Ain't that right, Ringo? Oh yes, Paul, he would. And George would have his out already. It'd be a lot of good.
Hi, we're the Jonas Brothers, and we're getting our dicks out for Lenny Kravitz.
That's sick.
On Disney Plus.
Hey, I'm Sum 41.
Sum 41. So good.
Hey, I'm Sum 41 and my dick's out already, and that's because I'm a Lenny Kravitz man. Yo, this is Fred Durst from Limp Bizkit. I think Lenny Kravitz is a fucking beep. That's an F word.
Yeah.
But I'm still getting my dick out for Lenny. It's just even Fred Durst, who's homophobic, is getting his dick out for Lenny. Even though I think Lenny getting his dick out's a total beep move, I'm doing it. Ain't that right, Wes Boland?
Maybe that's how we should encourage people to celebrate the fifth year. Rock stars only, platinum artists only. Get your dicks out for Lenny Kravitz.
Big plat style. If you got a plat recce on the wall, just even if you know you're at home, get that dick out for Lenny Kravitz. I bet you know. I bet he's thinking about it right now and smiling, going, "Yeah, that was sick."
Hey, this is Skrillex. I'm getting my dick out for Lenny Kravitz. the yodeling kid. Well, yeehaw!
Hey, this is Mason Ramsey. And when I ain't going to bed early and drinking a glass of milk, I'm getting my dick out for Lenny Kravitz.
Yodelay hee hoo.
Lenny a yee hoo. Who else is there?
Well, Angus, that's a incredible.
Hey, this is Mark Wahlberg. And even this is Marky Mark from the Funky Bunch. And I know you know me as an actor now.
But I used to make
my shirt
music.
Off a lot. I used to make music. And when I used to take my shirt off, I wish I did it like Lenny and had no pants on.
Anyway.
Yeah, I lost the accent.
Flop.
Anyway.
Hey, this is Josh Gad, the voice of Olaf.
Crying.
And I'm getting
it's okay
my
to cry.
It's okay to get your dick out for Lenny Kravitz.
Who else is that?
Save something good for PayFam, bro, because this episode of Hey Fam is
over. I'm trying
to
get bad voices that we can't do.
We're gonna
all
say,
"Alright, alright, alright." This is Matthew. When I'm a wild turkey man, I'm talking about some other turkey. No, I was trying to make a bad joke about his dick being his turkey. I can't do Matthew McConaughey at all.
Hey, this is Woody Harrelson. Hey, this is Dave
hey,
Franco.
This is Woody Harrelson.
Hey, this is Jet. What's the other guys from Now You See Me?
Hey, this is Jesse Eisenberg, and I'm doing a magic trick. My pants are on. Now they're off.
Like that's the promo for Now You See Me 3. Now You Three Me.
Yeah, you know when you go to the movies, RIP, and they'd be like, "Hey, this is Channing Tatum, and I'm so glad you're at Hoyt's to watch it." And you know, they're just like reading. They do like 10 of them. That's the Now You See Me. It's like, "Hey, I'm Woody Harrelson from Now You See Me 3.
And I'm getting.
And I'm glad you're here at Hoyt's, so I can get my dick out for Lenny Kravitz. What do you think that cup holder's for, man? Just put your dick in it.
Hey, this is Kermit the Frog, and I'm getting my dick out for Lenny Kravitz.
That rules. I can't think of any others.
That's good. That's good. That's the end of Hey Fam, but every week
this
we
is
do.
Brian from Family Guy.
Fuck.
I'm in Avatar Land, and I'm not wearing any clothes because I've got my dick out. Peter.
Peter. Bart. Get your dick back in your pants, boy.
That's so bad. That was the worst 4 minutes
ever.
Yeah,
incredible. Incredible. And it's going to be 20 more minutes of that in PayFam this week.
Hey, I'm Bill Clinton. Husband of Hillary Rodham Clinton. And I'm taking my dick out for Lenny Kravitz.
Excellent.
I play the sax. He plays guitar with both shredders, man. That does not even sound like Bill Clinton.
Yeah, that's fine. It was fine. Every week when Hey Fam is over, the mics stay on for Pay Fam, and you can get access to a whole other episode, another hour of Hey Fam.
It's probably just that. If, spoiler alert, it's terrible impressions of comedians taking their dick out for Lenny Kravitz.
Yeah, the red pill is we do that for an hour. The blue pill is we talk about Muppets Now.
Oh, I've got a Nintendo Direct, 35 years of Mario. We love Mario. He's our favorite character. You know, I always have that voice.
Yeah, yeah.
So this year to celebrate, we're taking our dicks out for Lenny Kravitz. It's like, it's actually 35 years of Mario is now being steamrolled by 5 years of Lenny Kravitz's dick.
The year of Lenny.
There's an amiibo. There's Crouch Lenny.
Yeah, there's Lenny Kravitz's penis amiibo.
Yeah. And it's the fight. There's a new Smash.
Could someone make that? Someone make that in Photoshop for us. Lenny Kravitz getting his dick out.
A new challenger approacher.
Yes.
What does it say? Where Lenny can have a shadow of Lenny Kravitz's dick.
Lenny Kravitz lets it all hang out in Super Smash Bros. Ultimate.
And this is his finish.
That is finishing.
You two can fly away.
Yeah. Are you going to go his way this March in Super Smash Brothers Ultimate?
Update 4. Seeing Iwata at home with his two TVs. One is just that live concert constantly playing.
That's great.
Yeah.
Anyway, patreon.com/heyfam for another hour of Hey Fam. We call it Pay Fam. We do it every single week. And there's no better time of the month to sign up than the beginning of the month. You've got all of August to decide whether $5 is all you want to spend for extra Hey Fam every single week, because we do an episode every single week, which means $5 now will get you 4 episodes before the month is over and you get charged again. It's a long time to make the decision. So come on board, patreon.com/heyfam, and you can hear us talk about Muppets Now, Mission Impossible 3, the ongoing...
Huh.
Ongoing, very slow review process of me rewatching.
That's good. It gives us something to talk about.
Yeah. plus, we both played a bit of the new game Fall Guys, and Angus has gone just sicko mode on Succession, and we're going to talk about that.
And Ghost of Tsushima. That's kind of my life at the moment.
Ghost of Succession.
I gravitate between being a cunning white guy who wants to bring down my family. And Honorable Samurai.
Beautiful. So that's over at PayFam, which we're going to record right now. Come and join us, patreon.com/heyfam. Thank you so much for listening.
I'll be there too. Bill Clinton, the president. Former president.
Enjoy your morning. Bye.